welcome back to the Sports Sermon. We have a very special episode for you today. The NBA season is about to start, and so we are going to have an NBA preview podcast where we discuss all sorts of things for the season ahead, kind of what's changed from last season and what our predictions are. So with me today, we've got the Voice's very own crack team of NBA specialists. First, we have Parker Houston.
Yep. Roll Tide.
We have Johnny Amon.
How's it going?
And Tyler Puri.
War Eagle.
All right.
So, this could be a fight right now.
So these guys all know the NBA a whole lot better than I do. So I'm going to let Tyler take the reins to start and kind of introduce kind of what we're going to talk about first with regards to the season ahead.
I mean, I think a trend that we've seen in the NBA the past few years is that it's rather top-heavy, but I think this offseason pretty much solidified that and made it as apparent as ever before. What do you guys think in terms of what moves really kind of did that for you? Obviously, the KD move to Golden State, but...
I was about to say, nah, Dwight Howard to the Hawks, yeah. Man. That's what turned it to me. This has always been a thing. I mean, LeBron going to the Heat was a thing. Like, the super teams have always been a thing. Yeah, that's really where it started. When a team has two of the best three players and arguably four of the best 11 or 12, it's just there. You can pencil them in for the championship, and I think that's what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, the inequality that this league is showing right now is kind of representative of the United States.
Oh man, election season, NBA season,
differentiate all between the two.
No, but it's interesting. The KD move, obviously, I don't think anybody's going to doubt the Warriors probably making it to the NBA championship, probably winning the NBA championship. But
they could go up 3-1 and lose.
But I think more so than making the Warriors even better, I think it just makes the rest of the West more like. Leveled out in terms of, because I think other than the Warriors, you could probably predict like the Spurs as the two or the three seed, and then after that, I think it's kind of
a wash.
It's kind of reminiscent of the East in that you know that some teams are probably going to make the playoffs, but you don't know if they're going to be the three seed or if they're going to be the eight.
In recent years, we've been seeing like the East being sort of second fiddle as a league, and very very clearly, just because you had the big three and arguably big four of Clippers, OKC, Golden State and the Spurs, but this year it's going to be a little different because those teams are more spread out, especially once KD moved.
Well, at the beginning of the season last year, the East was actually more even overall and had a better percentage of wins, so maybe that's something we see more of a shift, because as the West becomes more top-heavy with Oklahoma City now kind of wavering, maybe we see a more competitive side in the East, because everyone, more or less, now there might be a little shift in the West. Because now Tim Duncan's gone. Who knows what's going to happen with the Spurs? Yeah. The Thunder already going down.
I don't think
a little bit.
That much.
But we're going to see. I think we're going to see the East be a lot more competitive this year.
Yeah,
especially relative to the West.
Yeah, I definitely like the way the East is shaping up, especially because I think Boston. Everybody knows that they were pretty lethal in the playoffs last year, but I think the addition of Al Horford really makes them.
I mean, they lost in the first round.
Yeah, but they showed some promise, I think. Avery Bradley going down is what kind of did it.
Yeah,
did them
yeah
in.
You're right.
I think if he had stayed healthy, they probably would have won.
It was a lot better.
I think he was a big piece. But the addition of Al Horford, I really like Boston. I'm kind of all in on them being the top challengers to the Cavs in the East. I know a lot of people like Toronto, and I think Toronto's just as good as they were last year. I don't really think they lost anybody. But I don't think they added anybody either notable.
They lost Bismack Biyombo, which is like...
Depends on how you think about Bismack.
Because
I don't know if I'm all in on him being the defensive second coming of Mutombo that he thinks he is when he wags his finger at everybody.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I personally... He was only a factor some of the time. He wasn't consistently a useful player for them. So maybe they miss him a few games, but I don't think he's going to be as big of a loss as some people might.
I agree. I think sometimes he would stop up their offense because they run through Valanciunas a lot, and they kind of messed up that flow when they had Bismack out there. Bismack's not a post-up guy, and I don't think he will be.
He's just an above-the-rim finisher.
Yeah, right. He's like a poor man's DeAndre Jordan sometimes.
That's fair. In terms of like the East, still going on that subject, though, you know, you have two teams that are basically new look in terms of the big names they brought in. New York, in terms of bringing in Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, players of that
Brandon
caliber.
Jennings.
Brandon Jennings.
Shout out.
Always shifty.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and you got the Bulls, who now have
JW Basketball.
Who now have Dwayne Wade and things like that. The Bucks as well, not really great, but they re-signed Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. They got rid of Michael Carter-Williams, which
is out for the season, by the way. Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton's out for the season? Did he tear his ACL?
Yeah.
Makes sense. That'll do it.
That'll do it, yeah.
That'll end it.
But they got Giannis and Thon Maker. I mean, I guess we'll get to them when we talk about the up-and-coming teams. But, you know, in terms of the East, who do you guys see making the playoffs, and who do you see as challenging the Cavs in terms of, you know, getting to the conference finals and the championship game?
I love Detroit this year. I think so? Outside of, like, your obvious teams, outside of your obvious Toronto, you know, Celtics, and maybe even, like, you know. Actually, you know, there's not even really any other contenders except for those three, like, off the top of my head.
I think Atlanta will be good this year. I know they lost.
I hate Dwight Howard.
I'm not big on Atlana.
I don't think they're going to be good. But they have a lot
TV
of
TV show's
players.
Great. Team, not that good.
Dennis Schroeder good. Kent Bazemore good. Uh-huh. Dwight Howard in that system, maybe better.
Maybe.
Because he can see himself as the alpha and doesn't have to fight with James Harden.
Yeah, but Atlanta slows it down too much, and Dwight is sort of a pick and roll. Like, he's not fast anymore, but he was always really good in transition.
Pick and roll is his game, though. So
yeah,
if they slow it down.
I mean, the Hawks run a fair amount of pick and roll. I think he might be okay in that. But can
they'll
I go back to the Pistons?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're going to be like, they're like the next great defensive team. They're going to be like, you know, the, not Spurs level, but like
that's
one of the best defensive teams. Form a wall.
It's an inside out game.
That's right. I like Drummond's a great guy. Great guy as a human, also a great guy, great player. Stanley Johnson, hate that guy. He went to my rival high school, killed me in high school. Great player. He's going to eventually be a guy who you can run an offense through, I think.
Sure. I think Tobias Harris too.
Reggie Jackson's hurt, I know, at the beginning of the season, but we're going to see him get better and better. He's like a sleeper for MIP this year.
Sure.
Interesting. They also have the life of the former Philadelphia 76ers in Ish Smith. Big player to watch out for this.
Shout out to Ish Smith.
As a Sixers fan, I live vicariously through all the former Sixers on other teams.
That's how every Philly fan does it in every sport. The Dodgers are basically the team.
Shout out
Chase Utley. Yeah.
Shout out Chooch.
John Bland.
Long Beach Poly
represent. Everyone.
So, Parker, you seem to be on the Pistons. Johnny, you're in on Atlanta. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I'd say Atlanta is an interesting team. They still have... Okay, so, they brought in Dwight Howard, obviously. Dennis Schroeder is a good point guard. They paid Kent Bazemore, and he's definitely going to start this year. He was good last year.
At celebrating from the bench?
Well, I don't know. He actually contributed a lot. He started off Selimovic on the bench. Yikes.
Started from the bottom.
When he was on Golden State, obviously, yeah, he was celebrating a lot more.
Yeah.
And then when he came over to Atlanta, he actually proved himself. Mm-hmm. And now he's getting paid, so he's going to start. I think he's going to be really good. The obvious pick in the East is still the Raptors, probably. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a great team. But I think if we're talking top four in the East, it's probably the Celtics, the Hawks, maybe the Pistons. I'm not sure. The Raptors, and then obviously the Cavs.
Yeah, I would echo the thoughts of Boston, Toronto, and Cleveland. At the fourth
seed, don't say it.
I'll take the Washington Wizards.
There it is.
Washington teams to have a thing where they like to rip the heart of their fans out every time there's any sort of prospect of winning. I don't think this team can make the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think they're incredible, but in
you're
terms
part
of
the problem, Tyler.
Yeah. Well,
when do you give up on John Wall project?
I mean, if you can move him and get a couple draft picks and, like, a decent player.
But now that they've paid Bradley Beal, they're kind of in on this.
John Wall doesn't
right
like Bradley Beal. Like, that's just, like, a fact. They're not getting along well. Well, they're going to get along well so long as the team is doing well. But if I'm John Wall, I'm livid. Like,
but they're in on the project of this team right now.
No, I'm not. I'm not in on it.
I think they're a trade or so away.
Yeah.
If they got a good big man who could actually play basketball, I think they would be very
good. Marcin Gortat,
though, he's like weak Brooke Lopez. Like, he has a couple moves around the basket.
That's a hot take.
That's
wow.
Really hot, man. I'm not in on Marcin Gortat this year.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
The East, the team that's not going to be as good as people think they are is the Pacers to me. I think Jeff Teague does not fit well with that team. Neither does Al Jefferson. Those two offseason acquisitions, I think. The more you have the ball in Paul George's hands, the better the Pacers are going to be, and the moves they made this offseason did not help that at all.
Especially getting rid of Frankie Vogel.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff Teague is not, like, he's been a good defender in the past, but in the past couple of years, he's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. And their guard,
that's why Atlanta
their guard
moved on.
Spots, right?
That's why
yeah.
moved on to Dennis.
So getting back to the Wizards in terms of why I think they're going to be good, I think their starting lineup is, like, pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
John Wall, Bradley Beal, Marcin
Gortat.
RIP. Probably going to have to start Otto and Markieff Morris. Like, that's a decent, especially in the East, I think that's a pretty decent lineup.
I don't know how competitive.
But they retooled their bench a little bit. Now, look, they spent way too much money on Jan Mahimi. I am livid as
course,
a DC
who then probably got injured.
It's the way it goes. DC players do terrible in DC and then do well as soon as they leave. I'll leave that there. Kelly Oubre is probably going to average 12, 13, maybe 14 points a game this
Oubre's
season.
A solid player.
If he
yeah, Kelly Oubre's a solid
points a
player.
Game, he'd be most improved player.
He has that prospect. And they got Trey Burke. I think their guard play is pretty strong, but
the front court is a problem,
but with the NBA in terms of the they have so much transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, their backcourt is probably top 3 in the league. Besides Stephen Clay and CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard,
right?
I like them better than DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry.
I was gonna,
one because
I
don't think Kyle
about.
Lowry is an All Star starter like he's been the past 3 years. I don't know how he. Well, he's got all of Canada voting for him, but that's another topic.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Wizards have the prospect. What's going to happen? Like, is what happens every year. Somebody's going to get hurt, and then there's going to be internal problems in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that they hired Scott Brooks, the one person who Kevin Durant hates. We couldn't even get a meeting with him because
Scott
the man
Brooks.
Is from this city, and we hired Scott Brooks. So
the man with the biggest playbook in the NBA.
Yeah, shout out Ernie Gronfeld. But yeah, that's how I see the East kind of shaking out. I guess, you know, just talking about the West now, obviously the Warriors are probably, I think nobody's going to debate here that they are going to win the West.
Lakers.
As straightforward as it gets.
I got the Lakers.
So in terms of, but as we talked about earlier, the balance of power shift, it's very top heavy in terms of the Warriors and the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oklahoma will still do well. They still have Steven Adams. They still have Victor Oladipo now. He's a good player. He was one of the reasons that the Magic won any games at all last year. I think he'll be a good addition next to Russell Westbrook. They'll complement each other well. And, you know, Russell Westbrook is out there going for blood this year. So
yeah.
I think you throw those things together, maybe you get a pretty decent team.
I think OKC is going to surprise a lot of people. They have a trade in them. Maybe like a Rudy Gay type would be really good for their
mm-hmm.
team to sort of get a second scorer out there. But I'm not in on the Russell Westbrook MVP thing, personally. I'm out on that. Because the year that they didn't have him, they were, first of all, their record was bad, but their team's better this year. His percentages and the way he was playing defense, like the super erratic, like running all over the place, is not conducive to
his efficiency. Won't be high at all. That's
yeah,
sure.
And people, when they look at the, like, the reason Curry's been winning these last two MVPs is because his efficiency numbers were crazy.
I mean, but he was also putting up record numbers. Like, I feel like even if he wasn't efficient, the fact that he broke his own 3-point record by like 100
is
nuts. Like, he would have been MVP.
If
no
Russell Westbrook averages a triple double this season, which he won't, he'll get MVP. I don't care how, like, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I think if
he
averages,
he could lose 50 games.
I don't think that's the line.
If he doesn't average,
I think if he averages
something like 27, 8, and 8, if he's anywhere under that.
I could see 25, 6 rebounds and 8 assists in him being MVP if they make the 4 seed.
I don't think anyone,
I don't think the 4 seeds.
No one on the Warriors is, it's going to be too spread out. I don't think anyone on the Warriors is going to be
that's
MVP.
Why Kawhi is winning the MVP.
So it's probably between Kawhi, LeBron, and Russell.
That I
maybe
mean, that's fair.
Damian Lillard.
I just think Russell would, if it's all Russell all the time.
Damian Lillard also has a little chip on the shoulder coming in this year, too.
If it's all Russell all the time, to me, that's just, he's not going to play good basketball.
All right, so, Johnny, you seem to be on the Thunder. Who do you think is going to surprise in the West?
This is, like, the super obvious pick. I love Utah. All the quote-unquote basketball, like, fans are talking about Utah.
They've built themselves really well.
They have built themselves up really well. They're going to be... they're going to be what the Atlanta Hawks were a couple years ago.
No superstar, but
no superstar.
Great
they moved
team
the
basketball.
Ball. Great team basketball. Love Rudy Gobert as a rim protector. He's going to be the next. He might be defensive player of the year this year. He's going to be the next big shot blocking big man. They got Derek Favors, who's like sort of a throwback to the old style of big guys
yeah.
who had the little 1-2 post up moves.
Derek Favors has been underrated, I think, his whole career
for a long time. People forget that he was a really high draft pick.
People forgot about the Jazz, pretty much. Completely.
Entirely.
Until now. And now people are starting to talk about that.
Except Rodney Hood is not the most underrated player in the NBA. Get off that bandwagon, people.
I think
he's
the
just,
only
he's
time,
okay. He's good. Like,
the only time I saw the Jazz on national television last year was when Kobe was torching them for 60 points
yes.
in the final game that made them miss the playoffs.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think they were
that
actually
was,
going too hard either.
Yeah.
They were just there for shits and giggles at that point.
So, I mean...
Did we talk about the Bulls and the Knicks in the East?
Yeah, we talked
about
it.
Do you want to get into that?
We got to keep staying on the West here. But in terms of, like, the Trailblazers, I think they will probably earn – I think they have the potential to get to the Western Conference Finals. Like, I could see them beating the Spurs. I would like them to beat the Spurs because I don't know who on the Spurs is going to guard Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Those guys could probably average 60 points.
They have the best perimeter defender in the league, you know, right?
Kawhi Leonard, yeah, but you put Kawhi Leonard on either one of them, then you pass the ball to anybody on that team.
Like, you know, Danny Green's pretty good at defense too, right?
I don't think Danny Green can stay in front of CJ. This is just an opinion. I don't think Danny Green can stay in front of CJ McCollum.
What do we think?
Who's their three? Who's playing the three for Portland?
Probably Maurice Harkless.
Don't sleep on Mo Harkless.
I'm sleeping.
Or Al Farouk Aminu.
Don't sleep on Mark Harkless.
The dude passed the ball when he had a wide open layup for a buzzer beater last year. You remember that, right?
He's an unselfish guy. That's all.
This team probably has more chip on their shoulder than any team in the league.
For sure.
Yeah. Because Damian Lillard is out for blood. The fact that
CJ McCollum has approved his contract.
Exactly. Yep.
Mason Plumlee flirting with triple-doubles all year.
We'll see about that.
Not to mention former Philadelphia 76er Evan Turner.
Absolutely. Yes, that's worth noting.
Alan Crabb, too.
Yeah. I think...
some pieces.
I think they have the potential.
Festus was a good pickup.
But
talk about Houston.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you guys think he's going to be better without Dwight now that there's not that whole dynamic between James Harden and Dwight? I mean, they lost talent, clearly.
Right.
But I think the secret about basketball, we all know.
The secret to basketball.
It's not about basketball. And that's something.
It's not about basketball.
I'm honestly so off of James Harden's. I don't think there's anybody who's less of a fan of James Harden than I am.
Wow. Really?
I mean,
James Harden's one of my favorite players in the league. He plays basketball the way it deserves to be played.
Trying to grow the beard the same way.
He'll put up numbers and he can score with anybody. Like,
sure.
It's fun to watch him play offense. And then there's this whole other part of the game that involves defense, and especially
How is James Harden worse at defense than Damian Lillard is?
Because James Harden, have you seen the videos of him literally staring?
That's
into
not
the stands
all that defense is. Lillard gets beat one on one every play. Harden actually can stay in front of somebody.
Harden cannot stay in front of anybody.
Do you watch him play one-on-one defense, or you just go?
No, because he doesn't play one-on-one defense.
He does. Kyrie's a worse defender
than
James Harden.
Kyrie's probably a worse defender, but
Lillard might be the worst defender in the league. But
I think James Harden, if he just tried all the time on defense, he would be like a top three player.
If you're James Harden, do you try all the time on defense? Because I wouldn't. Because you need some gas.
LeBron tries on defense.
LeBron doesn't need to be the number one guy every single time down the floor on offense.
That's true. There's more talent in the Cavs.
No one else
than the Rockets.
Else can create a shot on the Rockets. Think about the rest. They got Patrick Beverley.
That's fine.
They got Aaron Gordon. They got Trevor Ariza. They got Ryan Anderson. Those are their next four best offensive players.
Yeah, but you can keep making excuses for him, which is fine. But
they're not
going to
be good
in
the
end.
Not going to be good. I'm not saying they're going to be good. I'm just defending my guy.
My man.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can blame James Harden's defensive woes on the Rockets management for not giving him a better team. I think we've come to a consensus.
Love D'Antoni for that team, though.
Who?
Love D'Antoni for the Rockets.
Oh, absolutely.
That's one of my takes that I wrote in my NBA preview column. I said D'Antoni and James Harden together is going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Ton of fun. That's terrible on the Lakers. He'll be great for this team, though.
It's all about the mustache-beard combo.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Right. My dad rocks it well, I got to tell you. So I think we've come to a consensus, relatively, as to who's going to be, you know, good in the East and both the West. But the second biggest storyline of the offseason... free agency contracts and people getting
paid.
This CBA is very nice, and if I'm LeBron, I'm never signing more than a 1-year deal, and I make for myself 60, whatever it is, 40 million a year until I die.
Steph Curry's about to get $5,200 next season.
It's absolutely unbelievable, but you know, just looking at the biggest free agency signings last summer. Mike Conley is the now highest paid player.
He's
the
second
Mike
highest
Conley.
Paid. LeBron got more.
Per year.
Okay.
In terms of gross amount, when they go to the record book, it's going to be Mike Conley.
Mike Conley's up there.
Sitting there.
Yes.
The $130 million man.
But yes, in terms of per year
DeRozan's
dollars.
DeRozan's right there too.
Who do you think is the most egregious, waste of money that that Mozgov. Was spent on the season.
Mozgov. Parker Mozgov. Knows. Parker can't even argue with that one.
I'm not even... Look, he's probably going to average 12 points. He's probably going to be better than people think he is, but you can't. He will not approach deserving $16 million a year at any point this year.
$16 million a year.
$16 million a year. It was also the first signing of free agency.
Yeah.
Which makes me right think that Mitch has kind of lost a step. He was, like, trying to be ahead of everyone when really he was just being an idiot.
I'm not sure what the plan is there, because Luol Deng and Mozgov...
Luol Deng was terrible. That was not a good
sign. Both to long-term contracts for a team that's, like,
smart.
Trying to grow.
It's not smart.
Not smart.
We should have just been Philly. Basically.
You know who's making the exact same amount of money as Timofey Mozgov?
Who?
Jan Mahimi. And I am pissed as a Washington
fan. Festus Ezeli is making half of
that's
Buffalo.
Crazy. Yeah. He, especially on Portland, I feel like he's going to play a lot more now. Like, he could be one of the missing
Can we pieces. Trade Jan Mahimi for Mozgov? Would you take that?
You'd like that.
Yeah, I would love that.
Jan Mahimi for Mozgov?
Also, I just like
if we can dump Mozgov immediately, yeah, you sure? I'd
like
do
to
that.
Point out that Jeff Green is making $15 million on a one-year contract, and I am very pissed off about
okay,
that.
Okay, so what are your Magic doing? Why did you sign 84 big men this season?
That's a great question. Oh, why did we sign Bismack Moyo when we
and then trade it for another big man?
Why when we have Vucevic?
Making Vucevic really angry, making your all-star big man, like, pissed off at the organization.
Well, I'm just going to say it's the management trying to be win now. And it's unfortunate because we're going to be number 7 playoff, best case scenario. And it's really disappointing because we had the foundation. We got unlucky because when we had the number 2 seed, the best player available, like, if you look at the draft, Victor Oladipo was the best player available.
Right.
Probably of that draft, the best player.
Giannis. But you wouldn't have picked Giannis. There's no way you
would
have picked Giannis. But
and so in hindsight, sure, maybe Giannis. But otherwise, that's probably one of the worst drafts of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Which
absolutely.
Is unfortunate.
Absolutely.
So the fact that we had the number 2 pick that year is unfortunate. And the fact that 2 years ago when there was a draft and we got Hezonja. I love Hezonja, but we were 1 pick behind getting Kristaps.
Croatian J.R. Smith.
We were 1 pick behind getting Kristaps, and that would have turned everything around. And we'd be on the road up right now.
Yeah, with more big men than you have already.
We wouldn't need the big men, though.
You wouldn't have traded for Ibaka.
We wouldn't
Kenji
have signed
or you would,
Biyombo.
Yeah.
We would have,
you wouldn't have signed Biyombo?
I don't think so.
Not. Yeah,
Kristaps. It's disappointing. I wish the management had like a cohesive plan for like long-term instead of short-term win-now mentality.
You guys are like the good version of the Sixers.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith is
but
the money he's getting paid.
The Sixers also have a lot more talent long term, so.
That man.
J.R. Smith is now making $14.25 million a year. Is he worth that?
To lay that much pipe?
If Mozgov is getting 16,
and not
then he definitely
does.
J.R. Smith with or without his shirt on, though?
He's better without the shirt, to be honest.
Always without the shirt.
If J.R. could play without a shirt and get a Cavs jersey tattooed on him,
that'd be sick. I'd be
that would be
that.
Crazy.
I just wonder, like, I wonder if the reason, like, obviously he's crucial just because who are they going to start at shooting guard if they don't have J.R. Smith? But I think
shout out Jordan McRae.
True, but I think what's interesting is the conspiracy that Dwayne Wade will be a Cleveland Cavalier by New Year's. I think it's
my
in
conspiracy
the works.
Involving J.R. is that his agent Rich Paul is threatening to LeBron is going to leave if they don't re-sign all their players to huge
that
contracts.
Definitely happened. That definitely
100% happened.
Season.
It happened with Thompson. It just happened with J.R. It's like him. He's controlling Ben Simmons's like matters going on.
The Cavs starting five is getting absolutely paid.
Yeah, and it's all because of Rich Paul. Shout out to Rich Paul. I want your job someday, Rich Paul.
I want to be you, Rich Paul, wherever you are.
But about Wade. Who could you possibly trade for Dwayne Wade?
I think you trade J.R. Smith and a couple draft picks.
And the Bulls like that?
If you're Chicago.
A couple Cleveland draft picks?
Yeah, J.R. is a long-term contract now.
Plus, Wade's from Chicago.
Look,
it's like the hometown.
If you're Chicago, are you going to win an NBA championship with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade? No.
Thought you were, though, because you signed Dwayne Wade.
You thought you were because Dwayne Wade is, like, the third best player in the playoffs. Like,
yeah,
every year,
yeah.
Somehow, he goes back to, like, the year 2006.
He
just
takes the regular
out.
Season off, and then he just goes in.
Yeah,
when
despite starting the two worst shooting point guards of the last 12 years, Carter Williams and Rondo.
Ooh, I'm kind of
know.
A big fan of Rondo.
I'm a big
really?
Rondo guy.
I think
I
Rondo,
Rondo
is, in terms of pure point guards, I think he's top 4 in the league.
2008
I love Rondo.
To 2010, Rondo was such a great time.
I love Rajon Rondo, but if you're going to play him starting with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, you're
no, it's not
going to
work.
Trash.
It's not going to work, but as a player, I like the guy.
Even defensively, he's not where he was.
He used to be a really great defender, though.
Yeah, but he doesn't try on defense anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not the James Harden problem. Like, he has other players around him.
What about
What do you guys think about Harrison Barnes' $24 million a year contract to go to Dallas? Because he almost like single-handedly lost the Warriors the finals. He was throwing up bricks after brick, and the man still got 24 mil.
He should have changed his number to number 31.
I think Dallas is just super excited to find anyone who would be willing to accept their max contract.
I think it's more so anyone who was formerly associated with the Golden State Warriors.
I genuinely think that's correct. I think just the fact of being on the Warriors made Harrison Barnes like a way more valuable signing.
And Andrew Bogut and Seth Curry being the brother of somebody. Like, they're just trying to become the Warriors, basically.
Well, that's where the whole direction of the league is moving, to try and be the Warriors.
Right, but like, if you're... I always say, like, you got to be the innovator, not the imitator. And
that's fair, but you see a lot of players, like, there was a piece on the Ball brothers, so Lonzo Ball and his brothers.
Shout out to Lonzo Ball. You beat me, 70-40, my final senior year game. Eliminated us from the playoffs.
And that's how it's going to go. Yeah. I mean, everyone, when kids now watch the NBA, they see Steph Curry ripping up the league shooting, so everyone just wants to shoot a shit ton, and that's how the league is going to shape up in the future, I think. Mm-hmm.
I agree, but I don't think Dallas is in a position to do that right now.
Unless the Bucks break small ball basketball.
Shooting a shit ton is not okay when Harrison Barnes is on your team.
That's fair. Well, when he's on team, but he's not the one shooting.
Okay, that's fine.
As if you make 400 threes a year,
run the offense
that's fine.
Through Dirk and Darren Williams.
Is Darren Williams still in the league?
Yes, he's their starting point guard.
I think he got signed to a $10 million a year contract.
Wow.
I believe it was $10 million. He's making double digit millions a year.
He's still making money.
Keep getting them checks.
Not to be outdone, Matthew Dellavedova still has a job in the NBA, which I'm still trying to figure that one out.
All right, that makes sense.
Deli's good.
That still makes sense, though. Darren Williams is like so
washed up. Deli's good at basketball.
Deli,
I'm ready for point Giannis.
6'11 point Giannis running down the floor. 6'11 point Giannis. That's going to be wild to watch.
You can't, like, if you're on the Bucks, you don't start unless you're over 6'8". It's just beautiful.
No, that's actually the one. You don't start unless you're 6'8". They're going to break small ball basketball. It's coming
back. You think so? What's funny, though, is they're sort of, the lineup they run is a little bit small ball-y because they have, like, Jabari Parker at the four.
They have Jabari Parker at the four, but then they have, hopefully, Thon Maker coming out at the five.
Yeah.
And that sort of balances out because that man is ridiculously light. Oh, he's still late. No, Jabari Parker is also, like, lengthy.
That's true, but he's a guard.
Lengthy.
Like John Henson. John Henson
Middleton?
Used to play point guard in high school.
Really?
Yeah, he was one of those Anthony Davis types.
They can all just switch out a point guard.
That's great.
That'll
their
fun.
Defense is going to be incredible.
They're just
going to
hold their hands
Monroe.
Up. Everyone's going to hold their hands up. They're just going to pass above people. It'll be fine.
All right, so we talked a little bit about like the surprise teams when we were going over the conference it by conference, but in terms of like the teams that are rebuilding, who do you guys think is doing it right and who is doing it wrong?
Trust the process.
Because Orlando is doing it wrong.
Orlando is doing it absolutely the way you should not do it. That was the first thing.
Philadelphia is doing it correct, and I think LA is doing it correct.
LA is doing it right.
Yeah, I'm bummed about that. I wanted
LA
a few more years of shit LA that I think we're going to get.
You're going to get 1 year of shit LA this year for sure.
They have D'Angelo and
D'Angelo
Ingram,
Russell.
Just those two.
If we keep signing Dang and Mozgov types, we're going to start doing it wrong.
Yeah.
If next year we go out and sign two more veterans to, you know, $15+ million a year, it's going to mess up our
organization. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the Lakers to be, like, to win, though. Like, there's a lot of pressure,
really?
From, I think, from the fan, because they're used
to win. I don't
think
this year.
I think the culture, not this year maybe, but I think the culture, that's why stuff like Mozgov and Dang, why they're getting signed, I think, because, like, there's a lot of pressure from the fan base for them to win. They're not used to these losing teams. It's the same thing with teams like the Celtics and the Knicks. They don't. The Knicks are used to losing,
but
obviously.
Mitch Kupchak, Kupchak could also just get over it and like tank like the real fans want.
I hope so.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
The fans who buy tickets want them to win now, and that's the problem.
Yeah. No, that's no, that's a real concern. Like,
that's
I think,
who you appease, though. You need.
But
like,
can I say something though? Like, Lakers tickets will always sell out every year, regardless.
Yeah, that's because the market.
This year it was more expensive than any of the, like ever. Just it was mostly because of Kobe.
Yeah,
but like they're never gonna not sell tickets. I don't understand if you're Mitch Kupchak why you're signing
but
you guys.
It's, I mean, it's still like a concern. It's gonna be harder to rebuild like over time when you have the pressure from fans to win now. Even if you're gonna sell tickets, no matter what.
That's
true. And I think like if you look at a team like the Sixers, the Sixers have been pretty trash for like a while.
Ever since
before they went into the process, like they were like an eight seed, like a perennial eight seed that was like never gonna win a title. And so, like, I think that's why there really isn't the kind of outrage that I think you would see with LA if they had, like, year after year of just being the bottom team in the league.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think most of us agree that Minnesota is doing it the best out of anybody in terms
of
they got lucky.
They got
luck on their side, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than to be good.
That's fair.
What makes you so excited about Minnesota in the years coming up?
Well, I thought the problem would be, they have Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns. Obviously, that's the basis of what you need. That's fine. But I was worried that they were going to have to rely on Ricky Rubio. But then they end up with Chris Dunn.
Yep.
So the future looks very bright.
Yeah, they looked into Chris Dunn, too.
They really did.
Chris Dunn was supposed to go three.
He should have gone to Boston.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the way it played out works out really well because now they, in three positions, have like very, very solid young players to build around. It's kind of like the Young Thunder. They did the best as the Thunder process, which I guess now you could consider the Sixers process as well. Or
did the Thunder really tank, though? Or the Sonics, really? Did the Sonics really tank to get guys like Durant and Westbrook?
Okay, to be fair, like, if we're going to make the point that Minnesota got lucky, the Sonics got luckier than anybody when Portland drafted Greg Oden.
Yes, that's 100% true.
Yeah.
And then they end up getting Durant, Harden, and Westbrook.
No, but they
and
still
Ibaka.
Did it right. Like, they
and
played,
Ibaka.
They did exactly what... Like, it's easy to, like, flub a draft pick, like,
right.
not pick Harden. Like, it's, you don't not pick Kevin Durant. Like,
right.
that's
yeah,
an obvious
yeah,
pick.
Yeah.
But, like, it's... it. I think, like...
Russell Westbrook also wasn't super obvious.
Westbrook was a reach, actually,
when
he went. Yeah.
So, I think...
Westbrook backed up Darren Collison, and now Darren Collison backs up every point guard in the NBA.
I think the only problem with Minnesota, and this is something they can address with a trade or a free agency signing, they're kind of, like, not deep in the front court. They have a lot of guards. They have Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn. Ricky Rubio can play spot minutes off the bench. Like, I think he's fine to come in and do that. Andrew Wiggins is more of a forward.
Pekovic is done for the season.
Pekovic is done,
so
which leaves
that hurts.
Adrian Payne.
They are done for the season.
Jordan
He's
Hill.
Done for the season, Johnny.
I don't
know
now. they have Karl-Anthony Towns, but without Pekovic, like, I don't know where they go.
They're going to be really exciting to watch. I don't know how many games they win.
It's too bad that Kevin Garnett... If Kevin Garnett could have given them one more year, I think that would have been really useful for them.
By the way, this year's
going to
be one
selfish,
of the, one of the
for
best...
For retiring.
One
no,
of the best Hall of Fame.
I totally agree with that point.
This year's going to be one of the best Hall of Fame classes because you have KG, Bosch, you have Kobe, you have Duncan.
Think Bosch makes Hall of Fame?
I do.
Kidding?
Yeah.
Dude, he made the greatest rebound in NBA Finals history.
I was going to say, about the Timberwolves, though, the one concern I have with them going forward, and maybe one A. Number one is I don't see very many of their guys figuring out how to shoot. Wiggins is yet to show me, or really anybody, that he can consistently hit three-pointers. LaVine is getting there. He's the only guy who I'm like not that worried about. But Chris Dunn was a terrible shooter in college.
He hasn't played a game in the NBA yet, though.
Yeah,
like, there's no way.
I mean, there's
knowing.
Like the Kawhi Leonard precedent, right? Where you can be terrible at shooting in college and end up being good in the NBA.
Yeah, so we have no way. Like, I can understand the concerns. He's not a good jump shooter. Like, his field goal percentage was so high because he would beat anybody into the lane and finish anything he wanted to.
So
it's going to be harder to do that in the NBA.
Quick question I just think might be interesting is, who do we think is going to be better long-term, Anthony Davis or Karl-Anthony Towns?
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Really?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis has had injuries.
He's been very unlucky.
That's what worries me. Like, that's, like, if
last year I would have told you Anthony Davis, but...
Now?
Yeah, now it's Karl.
Yeah, like, I was all in on Bradley Beal, like, signing him, like, before last season.
Sure.
Knowing that he had a contract coming up, I would have been like, write the check. This guy is, like, 21, 22... And he has, like, a lot of promise, but he gets hurt every year. Like, he sits out 30 games a year. Like, you can't sign a guy to a $130 million contract and have him play
half the
games. It just doesn't work. But, I don't know, I would agree with Parker that I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be
better long-term.
Better long-term. Anthony Davis can do more on the court because
he
has a handle and things like that. But Karl-Anthony
Towns
in the post?
Yeah, you see him yesterday.
But I don't trust him on
the
break to take it
like
I do.
No,
Anthony
but
Davis.
He can.
Yeah. But
plus, they're both going to get better, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I just like Karl-Anthony Towns in the post. Like, for a rookie,
he's better shooter too.
Real nice.
Plus, he's super fun to watch. He's just amazing to watch.
Did you see that step back he had
in the
preseason?
Step back. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I'm worried about, other than the shooting thing, we just talked about Anthony Davis getting injured. Tom Thibodeau has a really bad reputation for getting his players injured. And the worst
thing
you can do to a young team is run them into the ground and have a bunch of guys get hurt. I hope that management has made that very clear to Thibodeau that he can't do that to those players.
I mean, he's also the president of the organization, so
yeah,
we'll see how that happens. he controls himself.
Yeah. All right. Not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
So, it's April 20th. 21st. I'm not going to say April 20th. It's April 21st. We're waiting for the
Johnny Black knows.
We're waiting for the NBA's awards to come out. Who's going to be MVP? Oh, well, I guess we'll start with Parker.
Kawhi. You're Kawhi Leonard. I think that LeBron is going to pretty much exist solely in an oxygen chamber this year. He's going to want to rest entirely for the playoffs because he will do everything in his power to make sure that the Warriors don't win the finals, and that includes sort of taking a little bit of a load off in the regular season. Curry and Durant are splitting votes. The other guys, Westbrook to me, I already made my case against Westbrook. He's just going to be too out of control this year to be really to be someone people are going to like. I think the Spurs might again win somewhere in the high 50s, low 60s. They're going to be a clear number three team in the league. And Kawhi might take the jump this year to something like 25 points a game and still win Defensive Player of the Year.
I want to see Damian Lillard win. I know he was in the All-Star last year, but I think if he proves on defense...
That was a travesty, though.
That was a travesty. That was a joke.
Yeah.
And then if he improves on defense, I think he has a large chip on his shoulder. Plus, he has a great new rap album. I think the year's going to be
very good. Lil Wayne feature on that album.
Kill that verse, by the way.
Listen to it.
Yep.
So, I'm very excited to see that. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be really cool to see that happen because I'm a big Trailblazers guy at this point.
I agree. I want to see Damian Lillard win the MVP just because he gets snubbed every year. And
yeah.
He's a good rapper. Like,
so, cool it's story. A good combination, yeah.
In terms
drop
of,
a remix of the Big L song.
Very good, very good. I think in terms of who's going to be MVP, I disagree with Parker. I think it's going to be Russell Westbrook. I think he's going to probably put up 25, 6, and 8 and take a team that just lost the top three player in the league to the playoffs, maybe with home court advantage. I think if he does that, it's fine. But the point that the efficiency numbers dictate the voting is, like, fair. Like, it's very fair. So
Kawhi is going to be ridiculously efficient.
It's just that I just think if you were to poll all of the NBA GMs, I think – well, no, actually,
well,
that's not –
they did, though, and LeBron won.
No, but, like, in terms of, like, game planning against somebody, I don't
LeBron
think anybody –
LeBron won that, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm an NBA GM, I don't want to see Russell Westbrook on the court. I'd rather have the game plan for Kawhi than Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. I 100%
that's what I'm. That's just what I'm going for. I think, like, the fear factor of having to guard Russell Westbrook and defend against him.
Russell Westbrook's just going to take off from the free throw line every dunk.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to be very effective.
No, I think Kawhi Leonard is probably my favorite to win the MVP, but I think Russell Westbrook out of anybody will probably be the one to steal it from him because I agree with the point about LeBron taking it easy because
he should. That's
the man
that
is going to
have
to average 40 points in the finals
again.
It should just be in a meditation for the entire regular season. The Cavs will make the playoffs like a 5 seed and he'll just
take off.
Yeah.
All right, rookie of the year, who we got?
I want to say Chris Dunn, but Brandon Ingram, or actually the other. Yeah, I'm going to take Brandon Ingram just because the fact that, of course, Simmons is out and he'll probably stay out for a lot longer. Brandon Ingram is going to turn into possibly the go-to scorer on the Lakers. I know D'Lo is going to get a lot of points and a lot of minutes, but D'Lo is first and foremost a playmaker. And so I could see Ingram averaging somewhere in the 16 points a game range and beating out a guy like Embiid for that spot.
So in my article, I said that it would be Tyler Ulis, and I recognize that's a real reach. I think
higher than the Phoenix Sun.
The Phoenix Wildcats, dude. That's like literally Kentucky's last 5
years.
Yeah,
it
is.
Crazy.
But I think my rational take would probably be Brandon Ingram because it's going to flow through him, and I'm sure the coaches, Luke Walton and management, is going to want to see Brandon Ingram perform, and they're going to like start him immediately. He'll score a lot of points, I'm sure. If not Brandon Ingram, I think it'll be Joel Embiid because he's looked really good this preseason, and I think he's super excited to finally get his career started. So he also kind of has a chip on his shoulder, and he's ready to prove himself.
He has a great Twitter. Well, he had a great.
He does
Twitter
have a
feed. He kind of toned it down a little bit with the Rihanna stuff, which is disappointing.
Well, now he's a real NBA player.
Yeah,
so, yeah
he's not a meme anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he actually has a job to do. I agree with Brandon Ingram just because he's probably gonna have the best opportunities to put points on the board. He's going to probably average 16, 17,
right.
18 points a game. In terms of who I think is going to be like the most crucial to their team this season, probably Jaylen Brown or Jamal Murray.
I'd still like
can
to
I,
see Jalen Brown
can
do
I,
well.
Can I, Buddy Hield to me.
Is okay, that's the thing. I think Buddy Hield is definitely important. I just don't think New Orleans has any chance of doing anything this year. So like,
do you need to be doing things to be rookie of the year?
No, I'm not talking about rookie of the year. I'm just talking about crucial to the team's success.
Like, the most bearing on who wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Buddy Hield and Brandon Ingram probably have the best opportunity to put the points on the board. But like, I think Jalen Brown and Jamal Murray, because the Nuggets have a chance to
be
an 8 seed.
I mean, I think like Brandon Ingram's not going to make the Lakers like a playoff team, but he's going to be the difference between them being like bottom three versus like bottom eight.
Dude, make the Lakers great again.
I still hope they're bottom three. We need that pick.
Nah, the Sixers are getting that
pick.
We
need that pick. you guys injured Ben Simmons on purpose.
Who's going to be most improved player?
I got Devin Booker for most improved player.
Very fair.
He's going to get in that 20-21 points a game range this year. Devin Booker, a lot of people say they remind him of Clay, but he's actually better off the dribble than Clay ever has been. And if he spends a whole year, of course Bledsoe might take some of his touches this year, but if he spends a whole year running the offense like he did last year and sort of splitting time with Bledsoe as their primary playmaker slash ball handler slash scorer, I think he is a really, really good shot at getting MIP.
I think I'm on the Justice Winslow train. I think that I know he's a rookie last year, but he looked really good.
And
this preseason, he's also looked really solid. And for me, he's going to be an integral part of the Heat team that will probably sneak into the bottom half of the playoffs, if not do a little bit better, because they have a solid foundation. So for me, I'm going to go Justice Winslow.
I think Dennis Schroeder has a chance just because he's now going to be a starter and
a lot of weight on him. Yeah,
a lot of weight because
he's like the number one creator on the Hawks.
Yeah, he's going to score for them now. Right. They don't have Al Horford. They have Paul Millsap.
But Paul Millsap's not going to bring the ball up.
No, you're going to have to utilize Dennis Schroeder, and I think that gives him the opportunity to put points on the board. And things like that. Like, I think CJ McCollum, the fact that they started putting the ball in his hands more, gave him what he needed.
And he's
better than Dennis Schroeder. I'm not saying Dennis Schroeder is CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
But I think it was just volume held CJ McCollum more than anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen to Dennis Schroeder, so I could see him possibly being the most improved player. I guess there's no need to debate defensive player of the year because I think it's going to be Kawhi.
It's going to be Kawhi. If it's not Kawhi, it'll be Rudy Gobert, and the Jazz will be a top three seed.
DeAndre Jordan might have a case.
I guess. Voters hate DeAndre Jordan, though, unless it's for first-team All-NBA, which somehow got number one.
Oh, my God. Don't even
get me
started.
I have no idea how that happened. But voters don't like DeAndre Jordan because he misses free throws.
That's fair.
So
it'll be Kawhi, though.
It'll be Kawhi.
Okay.
Which will be three in a row,
which
hasn't been done since, I think, either Howard or Ben Wallace did it.
But it's, like, all justified. Like, he is
so
far and above anybody
else. He's on that Scottie Pippen level.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, just to wrap things up here, what is your hottest take for the NBA season coming up?
Six man.
I forgot about six man. Yeah,
six man. Jesus. Are there good six men this year?
I'm sure.
Like, it's probably going to be Crawford again. As terrible as it is,
the greatest. Oh my god!
They always give it to Crawford.
The greatest summer league player ever. His
are you kidding?
Oh my god!
I got to give it to Jamal Crawford though because he's a top four scorer on the team he's on. They go to him in crunch time a fair amount, and he's of course one of the most fun players to watch in the NBA. So yeah, Jay Cross.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure probably it'll be Jamal Crawford, but I don't. For the sake of switching it up, I'll go Austin Rivers.
Here comes Austin Rivers.
I think that'd be fun if he won. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not gonna happen, but it'd be cool.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to start in Portland between Al-Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless, but whichever one doesn't start has a chance. I don't know. Jeez. It's going to be Jamal Crawford. I'm trying to make an argument.
That's fair.
Just to end things real quick, like back to the thing. Hottest take for the NBA season coming up. What do you think it is, Parker?
Steph Curry stops getting lucky with hitting all those BS shots. No, it's not actually my take. I gotta say that the Clippers are gonna break it up this year.
I think they're gonna make a
big trade midseason, maybe a Blake Griffin trade. I think either Celtics or OKC, and they're gonna start rebuilding a little bit early. They might still make playoffs, of course, and they're gonna be a good team. but eventually the general management down there is going to realize that this current core is not going to work out.
So I have a lot of spooky hot takes in the article. It's
very spooky.
Aside from those, though,
including the fact that Nikolai Pekovic gets resurrected and plays two games.
So I messed up on that one. I disclaimer, thank you Reddit for pointing that one out. I'm real ashamed. But I think the Trailblazers make it to the Western Conference Finals. I like the team a lot. I'd like to see them do well. And it would be a fun time if they did.
My hottest take for the season. I don't even know. This is not a hot take, but like, I think it's time to move on from John Wall in DC.
Wow.
Great article in The Ringer written by editorial assistant Christopher Almeida. You guys should check it out.
He does not have any connection to us.
Zero.
I don't know this guy.
But as a Wizards fan, it's awful being stuck in this basketball purgatory of like getting the sixth seed every year.
Sure.
And knowing that nothing good is coming. Just nothing. We waste our money on Yamahimi and things. I think it's time to move John Wall and I'm fine with chilling for 3 years while we do what we need to do. I'm so fine with it. I'm over this purgatory thing. It's almost as bad as when we went to the playoffs every single season in like 2006, 2008 and lost to LeBron in the first round
every single time.
So that's what it is. Not a hot take, but I would like to see that happen.
You mentioned a little bit earlier kind of the lack of a go-to scorer on the Hawks, but you forgot that they have another former Philadelphia 76er in Kyle Korver, who drains them from three.
He does.
Do I think that he's going to break Steph Curry's three-point record? Who knows?
I love that.
Let's see.
That's a hot take.
That is my hot take.
With Dennis Schroeder feeding him the ball, who knows what's going to happen?
Kyle Korver,
that
who knows?
One.
NBA
that's
three-point
great.
Record.
All right.
It's going to happen. All right. So hope you enjoyed my interspersed jokes, hot takes, and random points, and then actually enjoyed my esteemed co-members of this podcast's actual insightful things to say. But that brings us to the end of this episode and the beginning of the NBA season. Thanks for listening. You can listen to more podcasts from The Voice on www.georgetownvoice.com or on iTunes if you search The Voice Podcast Network. You can follow The Voice on Twitter at GTownVoice and Halftime, The Voice's leisure and sports blog at HalftimeGU. You can follow us all individually on Twitter. I am at John_Block_. That's John with no H.
I'm Tyler_Perry. That's PEARRE.
I'm at RealJohnnyMon. Johnny also with no H.
I'm at Buckets Houston.
Classic.
Yes, sir.
All right. The music for this podcast comes from bensound.com. You get royalty-free music from www.bensound.com. Thanks for listening again. We will see you next week.